on page Pay Dollar. And I guess Dan wasn't able to make it with copies. So.
That's right. So I got it.
Yeah.
Okay, everybody will listen in. Okay. I'm just going to start with Pesach HaRav Omar. Kashi Mizonos of Shalotim Kikriyas Yamsev. The Mizonos of a person's earning a livelihood, is as difficult as the splitting of the Red Sea, as we know. And Kotev Lashono Bekitzer, because this is the content of his Lashon in brief. So the one who's writing this is giving over what the Pelayoid said. Kiyesh Or Panimi V'Or Makiv. There is such a thing as an Or Panimi, which means a light that goes inside. There's an Or Makiv, which means a light that surrounds or encompasses. Or Panimi Hu Bachinas Tzimtzum. Or Panimi means that the light has been reduced. Asher Nitzam Tzim B'chol Echad Ve'Echad. And that Or, which is within each one of us, is brought down to a point where it could be contained by a human being. V'yesh bo b'chinas hasaga. And it's given over to comprehension. A person can be masik, this light. There's something about it that can be understood. V'or makiv, however, the light that encompasses reality, ein bo b'chinas tzimtzum, it is not confined. Shalom nitzam seimatzmo b'kli, it has not been reduced and placed into a kli, a vessel. V'hu nikra b'chinas ayin, and this light is called ayin, I guess. She'ein bo shum hasaga, because we can't be masigit. Va'or makiv kenegdo kechashecha ka'ora. When it comes to this or makiv, this light that encompasses, both light and darkness are the same by it. In other words, there's no chiluk between tov and ra. It's all light when it comes to that or makiv. Kakosuv, as it is written, im chotosa matifova. If a person transgresses, what did you do to Hashem? Meaning that Hashem doesn't want us to do aveiros, of course, it's against his ratzon. If a person does an aveira, it doesn't damage God. God is not damaged by our aveiros. He is not pleased by that. It's not his ratzon, but we don't affect God. We don't take him down. Right, his etzem, his being, is above anything we could possibly affect. Kihu makif kol chelkei ha'igol b'hashva, because Hashem surrounds all aspects of the circle equally. V'zof noda kushas haran zal. It is known, the following question of the Ran. Kevan shevarosh hashana nidon al kol ha'inanim. Being that on Rosh Hashanah we are judged for all things, Hayach Shayach Zamanim Kavuim, how is it then possible that there are other fixed times in the year? For example, Ba'atzeres Alperos Ha'ilah, it says that on Shavuos we are judged on the fruit of the tree. U'bepesach Al Hatvu, and on Pesach we're judged on grain. Hello, Barash Hashanah, Adam Nidon Akolo Inyanim. The Ran asked, but we've already been judged for everything on Rosh Hashanah. So what does it mean that there's another deen on Shavuos and another deen on Pesach? Gamli Tivuasa, Misporach Limla. On Rosh Hashanah, we've already experienced a judgment as to our Tivua and as to our fruit. Ah, Ho Inyan, but the matter is as follows. Shavarosh Hashanah Adam Nidon, a person is judged on Rosh Hashanah Pirish, meaning Shemikol hamitzvos umayisim tovim shehaodim oseh. All of the mitzvos and good deeds that a person does, nimsha chesed ruchani, chesed kel, tzachu mitzuch tzach ala adam. There is a certain kind of kindness and love which is based in ruchni, in spirituality, that flows on a person, which is very clear and very refined, based on all the chesed and ma'asim tovim that we do. It generates a certain flow of chesed to us when we do good things. The acharkach then, bizmanim hakavuim, at certain specific times, adam nidon im yizkel lezeh, then a person is judged whether he is worthy of having that flow of chesed reach him. Shehachesed asher nimshach alav b'Rosh Hashanah, that chesed which we brought forth on Rosh Hashanah, shehu chesed ruchni, which is a spiritual thing, yumshach b'dover gashmi, will that come down and manifest itself in the physical world? The parnasa, either with parnasa, with making a livelihood, o bishar devorim, or other things, hatzrichim lahamshich lo haparnasa, things that are necessary to bring parnasa to us, ushar tzorche haguf, and other physical needs. So what he wants to say is that on Rosh Hashanah we generate this spiritual pool of bracha, but it's ruchni. It's there, the spirit affects us in ruchnias. On each one of those other Rosh Hashanahs, whether or not that ruchniyistic pool of bracha will come down into the physical world, that's what we're being judged on there. Will it remain a spiritual bracha, which is also nice, or will it come all the way down and not only be a bracha in ruach, but also begeshen, the physical reality too? Will that chesed of our that's kind of touching our neshama manifest itself in parnasa, in food, in fruit, in grain, whatever that might be? And that's how each one of the Rosh Hashanahs connects with the Rosh Hashanah in Tishrei. Yes, Nisa?
I was actually here with your outer life, and you started talking about how it's done.
Right, he did not yet make that connection. Right, he may bring it around, and
may or may not.
And he may not.
It seems right. To be a parallel right. Idea, the idea of Rosh Hashanah as being a spiritual light, like the Or Maki, as opposed to the other Rosh Hashanahs during the year, where it comes into physical qualities. It's like
and it's tangible, right. Yeah, that could be a connection.
So
yes, Jeff?
It's possible to be judged Rosh Hashanah for Parnassa, but not really have it fulfilled if we have stagnated or something like that during the year in our advisory.
That's what he seems to be saying, that we have to be Zoche to bring that spiritual pull of Bracha into the Gashmiyistic world. That needs another Zechus, besides what we accumulated on Rosh Hashanah. That's what he does seem to be saying.
Doesn't it also mean, like, a person say let's put on numbers on it, and have, you know, $70,000, let's say. So you can get $70,000, or you could earn $100,000, and then have a major loss of $30,000. So you have a lot of time with it.
Right, it could happen in different ways, too.
You have the $70,000, but the question is, how does it
right.
Come to you?
Right, and there could be any number of pathways, sure. Yes, Bruce? It would be really hard for me to say that. It would really be hard for me to say that.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, we are.
And I thought it was sort of very terrified of this particular 10 days.
Right.
It actually is the same.
Chaim and Mavis. So, you know, how to fit this into that, I'm really not sure. It's a challenging thought in that way. You know, to what extent on Rosh Hashanah is the deen going to come all the way down, and to what is it not? I don't know. I'm not quite sure how to reconcile that.
Well, one thought I have in reference to that is if you're going to have Chaim, there's got to be a Shefa for Chaim. There's got to be a flow, a force of Chaim.
Right.
So how much symptom or quality of what aspect affects the flow of life are the qualities of life. So we do have to be in awe of the fact that our life is not a guarantee of Rosh Hashanah, that life hangs in the balance and that we can be judged not to continue in life. But if we're judged for life, if life continues on, if we pass through that moment, then what's the quality of life?
Right. That's a nice thought. And there's a miser from the Abdur Rav that he went out one year in Kiddush Levana, and it was around Kislev time, maybe the month after Kislev, I'm not sure. And he was very distressed, he was visibly distressed after Kiddush Levana. And he went out again a little later, and he was the Simcha. So the people asked him, what happened, Rabbi, why before you were seemed so bothered, and now you're showing that things are okay. So he said that when he went out the first time for Kiddush Levana, he looked up in the sky and he saw that all of the Parnassa that his city had been judged to receive that year, it was already used up by Hanukkah. So he had no Parnassa left for the rest of the year. So he was very bothered by that. And then he went out the second time, and what he saw is that the same thing happened the previous year. And the previous year they were also had all their parnasa used up by Hanukkah time. So what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did is he just gave to them out of his own pocket. And he said, so I'm sure he'll do the same this year too. So those are the things that we earn, and those are the other things that we don't earn, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu can fill in. Louis, did you have a hand up? Okay. All right.
That's a very
nice mice. In case you ever think they used up, okay. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's pocket is open.
Because you could be pointed to the chiropractor's office, but he's actually really going to see you. Get the appointment, thank God. And, either he's an hour late, or he's only 2 minutes,
or
whatever.
Doesn't mean
that you really.
All right.
Just get the office.
I wonder if
that
get a second opinion on that.
Yeah, being that we have another chiropractor,
yeah,
how do you see that, Marshall? Okay. Vayidei Emuna. And by means of emuna, shehi lamala mehadas, which is over and above what a person can grasp intellectually, but even though that there is certainly a realm of emuna which is rational and can be understood, it's not illogical to believe. But over and above that, there is a realm of emunah which is over and above das, that a person can grasp with emunah something that we're not able to grasp with intellect. Our intellect is limited, and our emunah can take us way beyond the limitations of our intelligence. So that's what he's saying, that al yideihu emunah shehi lamala mehadas Bechinas Or Makif. Now he's connecting Amuna to Or Makif. Ayidei Shehem Ma'avirim Ayadot Shuva Ila Bechinas Or Makif Shehugam Kein Lamala Mehadas Visham Kichashecha Ka'ora. By means of Amuna, a person taps into what is called the Or Makif, right, the light that encompasses the world that is not affected by tzimtzum. And emunah opens a person up to a kind of light that's beyond the kind of light that we can simply perceive with seichel. V'yochol l'hamshich ha-chesed Adivorim Gashmi. And then one can bring down Chesed into the realm of the physical. So I believe what he's saying is this, that just like on Rosh Hashanah, a person gathers a certain spiritual pool of bracha, and that's ruchni, and it has to then be funneled into the world to become gashmi. There's another way that a person could access brachos that you might say come from beyond, and that's through emunah. The person's emunah is not bound, really, by things of this world. It can take us into a realm of what he called ayin. And through emunah, a person accesses that realm of bracha, which are beyond our own abilities of rational thought. V'gam b'kriyas yamsuf, ki ha'ishtanus mitzura litzura, miyam l'bayasha, miyam l'yabasha, so he wants to say now that what happened at Kriyas Yamsuf came from a realm which is much higher than our world. For a physical thing to actually change, when water changes into dry land, then that means that spiritually speaking, at that moment of Kriyas Yamsuf, something happened up there in that realm of ayin, you know, those worlds that are way beyond our world. Something happened up there. It flowed into this world, and it had the capacity to completely change and transform what was happening in this world. So water changed its teva, and that which was water was now dry land. What's that? Vayidei hayisarurus b'chinas or makiv b'chinas ayin. Yochol hishtanos miyam liyabasha. When that realm of makif is awakened, then it's possible for something in this physical world to change completely over into something else. And he's telling us that it's possible for a person to touch that realm through emunah. V'zeh ma'amorim, that's what it means in Chazal and Shabbos, ein mazel Yisrael. There's no mazel to the Jewish people, meaning that which is decreed and funneled into the world through the planets and the stars, a Jewish person is always able to reach above that makom of the constellations and change what's flowing into the world. V'yomer od hakol tolui b'mazel, then he's saying, and He, the Rebbe, continued to say, on the other hand, it says everything is dependent on mazel, right? The famous question that's asked. It says, ein mazel Yisrael. There's no mazel for the Jewish people, and it also says everything is dependent on mazel. Ach inyan hu, al yidei b'chinas or makif, shehu b'chinas ein mazel Yisrael, that by accessing or makif, which is the source of where everything comes from, there's no such thing as mazel. It's above mazel. Al yidei tshuva ilah, shenis over b'chinas ein ayin or makif, yesh mazel Yisrael. So he wants to say that, yes, when things do come down into this world, they flow down through the constellations, through the mazalos. That happens. So everything is dependent on mazel, meaning when that flow comes into the world and it's coming down through the mazalos, it's coming down and things are going to be affected by it. However, we don't have to be affected by that if we're able to reach into that realm that's higher than those mazalos. He says, therefore both are true. Ein mazel Yisrael means that it's not determined for us what's happening in the particular mazel, because we can reach above it. That's ein mazel Yisrael. Once something is coming down the line, though, and it's been decreed and it's being delivered into the world, it comes through the mazalas. And therefore, hakol tolui b'mazel. So that's how he resolves the stira. And I think that the connection here to Kriyas Yamsuf is the one that he makes to Amunah. he doesn't say this, but it just brings to my mind that before HaKadosh Baruch Hu split the Yam, he said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Matisak Eli, why are you crying out to me? Dabar al b'nei Yisrael v'yisav, speak to the Jewish people and travel. Move forward. So what were they moving forward based upon? Emunah. They were walking into the sea. They had to believe that they were walking into the Yam Suf, and Hashem was gonna be with them. And that's the kesher of Kriyas Yam Suf to Emunah. The very fact that they did walk forward, Nachshon ben Aminadab, they walked forward. That whole, the beginning of Kriyas Yam Suf was kind of triggered by the Emunah of Klal Yisrael. And by walking forward, that Emunah brought down the Hashpa'ah that changed the water into Yabosha, into dry land. And he's saying that for us, anytime we are strong in the realm of Emunah, it's possible to tap into that realm and to change what's happening in the physical world. Yeah, Bruce?
A little more of a story from the Rabbi's church, I know you've been holding us to film what's going to be the first.
Right.
When you've been under the terms, you've been under the terms.
Right.
So there were things that changed from one thing to another.
Right.
But in this case, the Parsha talks about a wind that blows all night long. It seems to be almost a natural process, but the Jews, of course, have to back into that first getting a lot, as opposed to the water to turn to dry land. It seems that one could read it, and that's why the Bible says, oh, there must have been an earthquake. And
right, good timing, right. Right. Very good timing.
But it seems to go against the shot of the water to turn to dry land.
Right. Yeah, the way the Torah Shebichsav writes it, you could, you know, look at it that way. But our Torah Shebaal Peh teaches us that Teva was completely changed at that time. The Teva of the world was changed. The Teva of water was changed. And B'nai Yisrael perceived that Teva was changed. The amazing thing about miracles is that once a miracle is over, then people have the ability to rationalize it and to say, well, it could have been this, as you said, and people are still doing that now with Kriyas Yam Suf. But part of the nes was that we were masi. We comprehended that it was a nes. We understood that at the time. It wasn't just some, you know, coincidence of nature, but this was a real change in the Teva of the world. Ordinarily, that's the case. You know, in this situation, Hashem Himself said, "Just move forward. I will fight for you. Just move forward." So we heard it from our Kaddish Baruch Hu Himself. It's a good sword. Yes, yeah,
I've thought on this concept of being the brother of Israel. Yisrael is the name that Yaakov acquired after Kisarisa, after he had the struggle with the angel.
Right.
So maybe you can say that Yisrael is that idea that a person has the potential to acquire. If you acquire the name of Yisrael, as Yaakov did, a Muslim, that's a place where there's no Muslim. But in our world, as our world of struggle, you know, that we're affected by forces, including Muslims, and the solution to that is to acquire the shame.
Of Yisrael, very good. Baruch Haim HaKadosh writes that is, you know, the shame of a person who's operating on a higher level. And Yisrael indicates that Madrega. And he explains in the Torah, when the Torah goes back and forth between the name Yaakov and the name Yisrael, that really it's telling us that about a certain Madrega that he is going back and forth between, depending on his life circumstance. And the same thing applies for us too. And the name Yisrael is Li Rosh, as the Sforim say. And it does connote that higher Madrega. So next up. Yes, Doug?
The area of Hashgacha. So there's general Hashgacha and specific Hashgacha.
Right.
So is that parallel to this? Is Hashgacha, is
It seems to me that it is related to that. No, and when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that the Umos HaOlam and that all the other creations in the world, that they are underneath Hashgacha Klolis, that means that they really are under the domain of Teva and the Ma'areches and constellation. That's what Hashgacha Klolis is, the way the natural world functions. Where Hashgacha Pratis has to do with a Jewish person's relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, based on having a neshama and based on Torah and mitzvahs. And we can rise above the Hashgacha Klolis nature of the world depending on how we lift ourselves in our relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's not constant. We could have on a given day a certain kind of Hashgacha Pratis, and then based on our Avodas Hashem, be zocha to even a higher level of Hashgacha Pratis. Even to that point where the Maisa that Ruth mentioned, the Nefinita Medosa, where he was able, apparently, to say that the one who told vinegar to light, the one who told oil to light, he'll tell vinegar to light. Really reaching up into the, you know, into these realms of ayin. And the physical world at that point is, you know, it's just going to follow whatever is given to it by its higher makoros. So Hashgacha Pratis does change. And it's not one kind of Hashgacha Pratis for every single Jew. Each Jew has their own kind of Hashgacha Pratis based on their Bechira and what they've done with their Lodi Hashem. I'd say, did you feel like an Ovate? It's not luck. It has to do with our
places I would go and do it. People would say, you don't want to do that. You feel lucky to that.
Right.
Some people want to do it.
Right. Got to be careful with that because what we may be feeling may not be accurately reflecting what is. Yes, Richard. There's two aspects to it that I'm aware of. One is that it just has to do with Kol Yisroel, period. And when Hashem wants to do something with Kol Yisroel because we are B'nei Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, then He will do that and He will operate in a realm which is Lamala Min HaTeva, Emad L'Yisroel, the whole Yisroel, all the whole Jewish people. Yetzias Mitzrayim. No, that was something that the Jewish people experienced because that was Ratzon Hashem. That's one thing, and that any Jew can experience because they're a Jew.
But that
yes, that means a Mazel Yisroel, one who is part of Klal Yisroel. Yes. Then there's another thing which is related to each individual Jew and how much they are underneath the Ma'areches HaTeva, the structure of nature in the world. And then, on an individual basis, that kind of goes back to what I was saying to Dov, that a person can be zocha through their meisim to live this a mazel yisroel kind of life, almost for a very great person, you know, at, often to be at that level. Where a person who is not that level of an Oved Hashem would not be zocha necessarily to be lifted above the realm of Teva, unless it was something that was there for all of Klal Yisroel, regardless.
Again, my question is really have to do with Meisim or strictly in your guests?
On the individual level, my understanding is that it has to do with Meisim. What a person chooses and how they connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on the individual level. On the Klal Yisroel level, it just has to do with being B'nei Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov. And then we have that because we are their descendants. Not related to our mind. It's just that's the Ratzon Hashem. I'm Segula. Yes, sir.
So, I read an idea where there's a certain fear that people have expressed of having material things come their way, or having a sham, or kind of being under this process because it may take away from something.
Right there.
So I guess that's really the question, how does that fit in? For instance, we were in a situation where we were really dominating for something specific that we felt we needed, and actually, you know, there was a moment that actually happened. Is there some kind of contradiction of actually for what we want because of it may have a negative long term?
What we try and do is be mispowerful for those things, but not based on our zikus. That said, Rashi in Parshas Vaschanan, that tzaddikim always ask Hashem for something not based on their zechus, but on Hashem's chesed. Because if we ask based on our zechus, it's possible that we could use up a little zechus now and not have as much later. But if we're mispalo to our Kodesh Baruch Hu based on l'man rachamecha, l'man chastefa, Hashem's kindness, Hashem's love for us, we're not saying we deserve this, which is also presumptuous. We're not saying that. We're asking Hashem out of His love for us, and then with God's help it comes, then we don't really need to be concerned about it being deducting from our own zechuya. That's also one of the reasons why we're not mispalel for a nes, because when something happens by means of a nes, then it could deduct from zechus. The same Tana, Rabbi Hanina Mendoza, that story from him, that he and his wife were completely impoverished, and they davened, and there was a golden leg of a table that came down, or whatever it was, and then he gave it back because he saw it was going to take away from their golden table in Gan Eden, so he gave it back to Shemayim. Just an interesting Gemara there that says that a hand came down from Shemayim and took it back, and the Chachamim say that as great as it was, that a hand came down to Shemayim to give them the gold, it was even greater that a hand came and took it back. That's even greater than the first thing. But we're talking about, you know, Anita Mendoza, right? Right. She was willing to.
She was the one that, she was
the one that
told them to send it back.
Right, was concerned. You, sir?
So what's your take on this, or
Well, in general, Or Panimi means the kind of hashpa'ah, or emanation from a Kodesh Baruch Hu that we can grasp. You know, life, food, intellect, something that we can grasp, as he calls it, which has been subject to tzimtzum, that we're calling Or Panimi. It's workable. Or makif are the things that are affecting us in our life on a regular basis that we don't grasp. It's called shining on us from afar, that we're just simply not masing what it is, but it is affecting us.
Are these continual and ongoing,
yes,
aspects of life you are?
Yes. They're both happening all the time, Or panimi and Or makif. And there's also some fluctuation because an Or makif can sometimes become internalized. You know, the way to say that is that something which at some point is beyond our comprehension becomes comprehensible. It does turn into an Or panimi. That does happen.
These are really
ruchniyistic
concepts.
Yes, these are ruchniyistic concepts. And with an Or panimi, it does take a manifestation of life. Like children, like bracha in life, like seichel.
But it trickles down,
yeah,
from the roof of his thrones and then becomes bad.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So these are all manifestations of the original life of creation.
Yeah.
As opposed to, we're not talking about the something from the start.
Spiritual life.
That spiritual life.
The spiritual life. Well, it came into being at the time of creation, right? That's when it came to being. Okay. Yes, Shikala.